There's a lot of news happening all around the world. And right here at home, it's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
President Donald Trump made good on another campaign promise. He has abandoned the nuclear deal with Iran. No one was surprised by this, yet there are some important implications. With more on this developing story, joining me on the line, Fox News Radio's John Decker. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on this morning.
So what was the reason the president gave yesterday for abandoning this particular deal?
Well, the bottom line the president has expressed is that this deal was not in America's interest. And so the president said, and he said this while a candidate and while serving in his first 15 months as president, a better deal could be had with Iran. The president said he's open to a better deal. Iran has responded to that overture and said, we're not interested in a new deal. We want to stick with the deal that we signed. Some of America's allies in Europe are disappointed by the president's decision. Germany, France, the UK putting out a joint statement expressing their disappointment. At the same time, you have two countries that are directly impacted by Iran's nuclear ambitions, Saudi Arabia and Israel. They both praised the president for the decision that he took yesterday.
Yeah, and it was more than that, than just those two countries, too, right? I mean, the countries actually in the region all seem to support the president's move here.
Well, that's exactly right. They should know best. You know, Iran has been an actor which has not been kind, to put it mildly, in the region. They support terrorism. They've supported Hezbollah, which attacks Israel on almost a daily basis. So Israel, as you know, has worked very hard to urge the U.S. to pull out of this agreement. Benjamin Netanyahu, one of the president's strongest allies, Saudi Arabia as well. And so what comes next? It's really up to Iran, whether they abide by the terms of the agreement, number one, and number two, whether they're open to talking to the U.S. and other allies about a new type of agreement, which would limit the sanctions being placed upon the country. You know, the president also announced yesterday that new sanctions would be imposed upon Iran. They're hard-hitting. They take effect, some of them immediately, some within 90 days, some within 6 months, but all of them are hard-hitting.
There's a little bit, I think, of revisionist history going on, and I believe it was Guy Benson, Fox News contributor, who pointed this out on Twitter last night. A statistic, something along the lines of like 61% of Democrats at the time found this particular deal to be controversial and they weren't supporting it. And yet you wouldn't know that if you read, you know, the tweets from former Obama staffers who've become podcasters like Tommy Veeder. It's like everyone support. No. This was always controversial.
Well, that's right. It was. In fact, the now Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, was one of those Democrats who opposed this deal and went against the wishes of President Obama. And I remember it because, you know, I've covered the White House for four different administrations. I remember how the Obama administration hit Chuck Schumer so hard for coming out against the Iran nuclear deal. So what Guy points out is correct. There is a lot of revisionist history going on right now in terms of what the reaction was from Democrats when the Iran nuclear deal was debated in Congress back in 2015.
So how are those Democrats reacting now?
Well, what they say is, for those who disagree with what the president announced yesterday, is they say, although we were against the deal, this is a deal that is the best one the U.S. can get, and that's why they urge the U.S. to remain in it. They also say it's difficult to get Iran to agree to a deal which benefits the U.S. in a more substantial way. So that essentially is the argument coming from Democrats who have expressed their dismay, their disappointment that the president has quit the Iran nuclear deal.
Well, and there's all this sort of, I would argue, specious concern over how this impacts North Korea. And I say that because the claim is, well, will North Korea want to engage in any sort of deal with us, knowing that now the president can just pull out? I'm sorry, but North Korea has been, for the most part, cooperating so far based upon how the president has acted. It doesn't seem like it's going to impact it negatively at all, at least not yet.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. You know, one of the things that North Korea can take from what happened yesterday is the president following through with what he said he would do as a candidate. And the president mentioned this yesterday. He keeps his pledges. He keeps his promises. So if he makes any pledges or promises, through Mike Pompeo, they can rest assured that the president will abide by those pledges and promises. That's the message I think the North Koreans get out of what happened yesterday as it relates to the Iran nuclear deal.
It's an interesting story. It's an interesting development, although it's not shocking at all. For more information on this, check out foxnews.com. I'm talking with Fox News Radio's John Decker. John, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on.
You as well. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
Mariners pitcher James Paxton earns a no-hitter. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? In Seattle.
Well, come on.
I don't. He's a pitcher for the Mariners. And no one hit a ball.
You can't even find one of the good storylines. Like, he's Canadian born and he did it in Toronto.
So he's not even American?
No, but.
That's what you want me to do?
It's the sixth no hitter in Mariners franchise history. The first one ever on the road.
Is that bad? He's good?
It's very, very good.
Does that mean they won?
They won the baseball game, yes.
What was the score?
5-0.
No hitters. No.
So it's the first time they got a no-hitter and scored 5 runs as well. Why don't we add that to the mix?
I'm not sure if that's true, but...
They've only done it 6 other times.
I'm sure it's likely,
right?
But
why don't you know this?
He doesn't know all the stats.
Oh, please. This dude over there, he's all big on, I know sports. Why?
I think he knows...
I'm glad he did it, right?
Uh-huh.
I saw the tweet last night as I was getting ready to see Life of the Party, the new Melissa McCarthy movie, which we'll review on Friday, which, by the way, was a delight. Hmm. It was adorable.
Was it more delightful than James Paxton throwing a no-hitter?
Well, someone turned to me. This is something happened to me as a movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, what do you mean, oh, yeah? I'm
intrigued by this story. It's funny to hear what I'm assuming you're going to say. Someone brought this up, this no-hitter, at the movie.
And so, she's sitting next to me. She's another media member who does reviews, and I forget her name. And I don't even know if I've ever, we talk a lot. I just have no idea who I'm talking to. And she turns to me and she goes, oh, Twitter just said Paxton. And first I thought she said Bill Paxton,
mm-hmm.
like actor. It was the from Twister Who Died.
Yes.
And so that's what I originally heard. But then it became clear from the context, pitched a no-hitter and we're stuck here at the movie. And she was super excited. She goes, she said something along the lines of, isn't that cool? And I was like... Yeah, I'm so pleased. And I didn't know the team she was talking about. I didn't know that there was a Mariners game last night. And as she was telling me this, because she started to get into what this means, she gave me the stat. I remember her saying, this is only the sixth time in Mariners history that this has happened, and I didn't get to see it. And I was praying to God that this would not become a conversation about Mariners baseball, for which I am not qualified at all to engage in. And I tried to turn it into... a Sounders reference,
right?
Where I go,
that's brutal. That,
I was like, that's
it.
So cool. It's like all these shutouts that the Sounders
isn't.
Have gotten.
No, it isn't.
And that's when the conversation ended.
Exactly.
It literally, she just did not respond. She turned back to her phone and continued to look at Twitter.
Because you were clearly someone that had no idea what this meant.
But I tried. I tried to turn it into a conversation that I would understand.
If you don't understand something, just ask. Like, oh, is that a
big
deal?
No, I'm not. I know it's a big deal. Okay. I just don't know the context.
You don't know how big
of the Mariners season
the thing
right
is,
now.
Is you showed
are they
how...
doing well?
Yeah, they are.
You showed that you did not understand it as you didn't. You showed your naivete basically,
which is funny because I played baseball and was an all-star pitcher.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I get it. I just don't. One, I don't care.
Uh-huh.
Two, I really don't care.
But you compared it to something that it's not like.
No, it is like it. It's like a shutout.
But it's not significant
and a
in the same way. But shutouts happen every day in soccer,
okay.
Every game.
Well, that first of all, what I was thinking, and in retrospect, I misstated it
okay.
to her. I was thinking of the game in Dallas where there was not a shot on goal, and that never happened. Both sides, there was not
something.
A shot on goal.
Yeah.
That's a shutout and a no-hitter. That's the equivalent of a no-hitter, and it almost never happens in the history of soccer.
Yeah,
that's
but
how
that's
rare
also
it was.
Like,
but it's a negative in that case.
That's more about the incompetence of the shooters than the skill of the goalie, and this
shooters.
Is about
the
skill the
strikers,
of
strikers. You mean
whatever?
Dummy. You don't know anything about
I
sports.
Don't pretend to know about soccer.
You don't
soccer.
Know anything. Well, you know what? I'll pretend to know.
I'll tell you this. When you bring up Sounders, we just ignore you instead of trying to make it about something we do understand.
Oh, shut up. I'm in on that bit. That was my... No, you hate when I do that bit. You tell me not to do it ever. And I do it all the time. You said, don't do it. And I forgot on Monday to do it. When we come back, the latest in the weekend Sounders news. I'm kidding. King County is going to get a whole bunch of perks when you vote. But live in the Online Trading Academy studio, welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Thank you so much for all your text messages on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline at 1-800-465-8770. In about 10 minutes, I'm going to ask you to donate $25 to a local nonprofit that's giving job training assistance to kids, young adults who are living on the streets. They're putting them in positions to succeed in life, but they need your support because today is Give Big. Give Big is put on by the Seattle Foundation every single year, May 9th of every year, where they ask everyone to go online and donate to the charity of your choice. For me, I chose Street Bean Coffee Roasters. Their director is going to be on the show in about 10 minutes. I do want you to be ready because I am going to ask you to donate $25. You don't do this often. You don't do cause radio all that often. I always feel a little bit uncomfortable doing that. It's just not in my wheelhouse. But this is a special day. This is an important day. And I want to make sure that the KTTH community, the charitable KTTH listenership, is well represented in giving back to the community, particularly because this is an organization in Street Bean Coffee Roasters that supports our values and our principles. So I hope you'll tune in and take this opportunity to donate just $25. When you do it, send me a text at 1-800-465-8770, your name and your city, and we'll give you a shout out. But we'll do that in the next segment. Because first, I want to talk about a big breaking news story that happened this morning, just hours ago. Tony Kim, Kim Hock Song, and Kim Dong Chul are the three American hostages, former hostages that North Korea took. They've held them there for months, but they've just been released. They're released this morning. They're on their way back to the United States. They're accompanying Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He was just in North Korea for some official meetings as they get together with this potential summit between North, South Korea, and the United States. Donald Trump, President Trump, moments ago was on Twitter, said, I'm pleased to inform you that Secretary of State Pompeo is in the air and on his way back from North Korea with the three wonderful gentlemen that everyone is looking so forward to meeting. They seem to be in good health. Also, good meeting with Kim Jong-un. Date and place set. Date and place set. Meaning the United States and President Trump and our officials and their officials are going to meet and we're going to come up with an agreement that would put under control their North Korea's nuclear capabilities and aspirations. This is huge. This is huge. This legitimately is what Nobel Peace Prizes are made of. President Obama did absolutely nothing. He just got elected. He gave some speeches about coming together. He got a Nobel Peace Prize. Donald Trump is actually doing stuff that matters. You may not like his rhetoric. I don't necessarily like his rhetoric. But can we be fair and honest and give him kudos for jobs well done? Because this is another job well done. He got rid of the Iran deal, which, as we said in the last segment with John Decker from Fox News Radio, let's not be revisionist here. Even Democrats didn't like that. Chuck Schumer, who's currently the majority leader, did not like that plan. The only people who liked that plan were Obama ass kissers. Those are the only people who liked that plan. And those are the only ones who are upset right now in this country. So that was a promise kept. That was a good promise kept by the president. And now he's bringing home hostages and meeting in a historical sense a person who is crazy, who is from a regime that has given the United States a hell of a lot of trouble over the last several decades. And this might actually lead to some peace in that region. Imagine that for a second. The guy everyone loves to hate on CNN and MSNBC is going to be responsible, if this is successful, in getting Kim Jong-un and the North Korean regime to chill out a little bit with their nuke aspirations. I put producer Jacob on CNN watch. I've got him going through all of the audio because I cannot wait to play the first instance of someone on CNN poo-pooing this from Donald Trump, turning this into attack on Donald Trump. I'm not sure how they'll attack him on this, but I know it's coming. So I can't wait to dissect it. I'd love to get your feedback. Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, it's time to give big, Seattle. Give big Tacoma, Bremerton, Bainbridge Island, Bellevue, and everyone listening. We'll tell you how when we return. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show on AM 770, KTTH, and 94.5 FM in the Greater East Side. As we've been saying all morning, today is Give Big. It's an annual day where all of us get together, we donate online to a local charity that's helping local people on local issues. KTTH, for the first time, is participating this year, and I get my choice of organization to back today, and I'm picking an awesome organization. They're called Street Bean Coffee Roasters. As most of you know, I love coffee. I'm passionate about coffee, but here's what I love even more. When we're able to use coffee and the coffee industry to help teach job skills to at-risk youth. And beyond simply teaching them how to become baristas, Street Bean Coffee Roasters actually helps them be model citizens and model workers, so they can actually become incredibly productive members of society. Joining me to talk about this local nonprofit and how you can actually help raise money for them is our friend Sean McDonald. He's the director over at Street Bean Coffee Roasters. Sean, good morning. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, morning, Jason. Good to be here.
So take us through how you guys operate, how you give back to the community. What are the services?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So Street Bean is, as you mentioned, a job training program. And we bring on young people that are accessing services in the Seattle area. And we take them through a job training process that is 5 months long. And during that time, they learn both the hard skills and the soft skills it takes to be in the coffee industry, but more so, we try to train them more broadly for customer service and kind of retail backgrounds so they can go out and get jobs that will help them pay their bills and kind of continue to move forward with their lives. And with that training program, I mentioned soft skills and the hard skills. So the soft skills are really, interacting with people, mm-hmm. Greeting people, eye contact, some of the things that a lot of folks probably take for granted because they learned at home from parents or things like that, that the young people that we work with don't always have the same opportunities to learn those skills. And then the hard skills are obviously in coffee. And so we teach people both barista skills, so things like pulling espresso, brewing coffee, making latte art and steaming milk. But we also have a program where they can actually learn to do production roasting as well. So they would be able to have the opportunity to roast coffee, learn about sourcing coffee from our head roaster, David Clark.
So if you want to participate and help us raise funds as a station and as a show for Street Bean Coffee Roasters, right now text the keyword donate to the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770. We're going to send you a link to the to donate to the Street Bean Coffee Roasters. Who do you help? Who are you working with in the community?
Yeah, so we work with at-risk and street-involved young people that are typically between 17 and 24 years old. Folks that a lot of the folks we work with are pursuing education, pursuing housing. They don't have stable housing. They many of them either don't have a high school diploma or are finishing their GED, mm-hmm. And wanting to continue to pursue education. And so the folks we're trying to work with are folks that are seeking to continue to build and improve things in their lives, that they want to take the steps forward to get an education, to have stable housing, to get a job where they can earn a living wage. By and large, a lot of them are staying in shelters. So we partner with an organization called New Horizons. And New Horizons does a lot of the housing and education advocacy that Street Bean doesn't have the bandwidth to do. So
yeah,
we partner with them, and so they kind of they tackle the housing and the education piece, and then we tackle the job training piece.
And you have two cafes, correct, that people can actually visit? I know that one is in the Belltown area. I've actually mm-hmm. been to that Street Bean. They make phenomenal coffee, and I know you've got another one sort of in the Roosevelt University District of Seattle, but a lot of the people who are listening right now are outside of the city of Seattle. So for them, you offer actual coffee beans that you can order, and the proceeds go to helping out the job training program.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we have the two storefronts, the one in Belltown, just a stone's throw from the Space Needle, mm-hmm. and our other one's in the U District at 50th and Roosevelt. And then, as you mentioned, Jason, we do a lot of sales online as well. And another opportunity for folks is that if they want to have coffee for their businesses, their companies, we do wholesale accounts as well. So if they want to have larger orders for businesses or even company parties, we provide those things as well.
Again, I'm talking with Sean McDonald. He's the director over at Street Bean Coffee Roasters. We are today participating in Give Big, where we have one day where I'm asking every single person who's listening to spend just 3 minutes donating what they can online to Street Bean Coffee Roasters. Right now, all you have to do is text me the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770. We'll go ahead and send you a link that you can utilize as part of this Give Big program from the Seattle Foundation to donate to Street Bean Coffee Roasters. Let's say, Sean, right now I donate $25 to your organization. Where does that money go?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jason. All of the money that we have donated to Street Bean goes into our training program. So we have kind of a unique model for a nonprofit that we have a business side and a nonprofit side. So the business side really funds itself. So the coffee shops and those things are relatively self-sufficient, but donations help cover the training costs and time of that goes into training the young people in their either barista or roasting positions.
What I like about this program is you're actually giving tools that these kids who are already motivated because they're working with you, you're giving them the tools to actually succeed on their own. And I oftentimes hear a lot of criticism of just wanting handouts, wanting government subsidies. And this addresses that concern. This is, we're giving you the tools you need so you can actually be self-sufficient.
Yeah, absolutely. That criticism, I think probably in some cases is valid, but a vast majority of the young people that we work with at Street Bean aren't just trying to get a handout. They're trying to yep. really move forward with their lives and trying to build skills that will help them not just this week or this month, but for the long term. And it's a really cool program that helps really engage folks in a way that will allow them to do that in the long term.
What's a success story for you? Tell us the story of someone who came, went through the program, and is now doing well on their own.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So last year we had someone come into our barista program, a young lady who was not only struggling with living on the streets, but was also a refugee, and she came into the program, was very shy, very timid, not wanting to, or not really having the skills to engage a lot of folks. And when we brought her in, we started teaching her just very basic skills. You know, this is how you brew coffee. This is how you use the cash register. And over the course of her training program, she really blossomed, and she became one of our most engaging and outgoing and gregarious young people that we've had in Street Bean. And she's now working at another coffee shop in the downtown area. She has wow. she has her own apartment, and she's really doing an amazing job, kind of, and helping herself kind of she's helping herself move forward in life, not working with service providers, and in yeah. that she's really able to take things on their own.
That is so cool. I love stories like that, which is why, again, I've chosen Street Bean Coffee Roasters as my nonprofit to focus my attention on for Give Big today. Again, it's super, super easy for you to donate money. Donate whatever you can. If you've got $25, if you've got $250, Street Bean Coffee Roasters, they actually put that money to work. If you've got a job, an employer that does matching, you can also participate so you can double the amount of money you're giving. All you have to do is text the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770. We'll go ahead and send you a link to the Give Big Seattle website so you can donate directly to Street Bean Coffee that way. If you're not able to text me right now, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/JasonRantShow. We've got the information there. And of course, you can also go to givebigseattle.org. Just look up Street Bean Coffee Roasters. I've been telling people for the longest time, KTTH listeners are incredibly charitable. We give back to organizations that do some amazing work so that we can, you know, keep people off of government subsidies. It's always better when people are self-sufficient. Street Bean Coffee Roasters, they actually have a track record. I trust these guys. I love these guys. And by the way, their coffee is fantastic. So again, text donate to the number 1-800-465-8770. And let's go ahead as a station, as a show, show our support for a great local organization. Again, I've been talking with Sean McDonald. He's the director over at Street Bean Coffee Roasters. Sean, I wish you the best of luck in all the work that you do. And hopefully we can raise a ton of money for your organization this morning and throughout the day. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. It's great talking to you.
Absolutely. Again, send a text with the keyword donate to the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. Let's raise some money for Street Bean Coffee Roasters. Right now, let's also get you to work on time the right way. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Gina Haspel is trying to become the next leader of the CIA. She's conducting her hearings right now. There was just a little bit of a disturbance. During the Senate hearing, some dude was yelling, and some dude who was yelling got removed very quickly from security. So we'll be monitoring the situation there. Fox News at the top of the hour is going to have an update. Just real quick, let's give a shout out to Diana from Sammamish and Jim from Enumclaw. Both donated in the last segment to our Give Big charity of choice, Street Bean Coffee Roasters. Please, 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 today, give. Give using the link that we have on our Facebook page at facebook.com/JasonRantShow, or give by sending me a text message with the keyword donate to the number 1-800-465-8770, the KTTH hotline brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. I thank them so much because without this texting platform, we wouldn't be able to make it so easy for you to donate to some amazing causes for Give Big Seattle today. Again, send me a keyword donate to the number 1-800-465-8770. We'll send you the links over so you can donate to Street Bean Coffee on this Give Big Seattle. Voters in King County no longer have to put postage stamps on their ballots thanks to a King County Council bill that was passed recently. So no more drop boxes are necessary. Councilmember Dave Upthegrove proposed the legislation to pay for the postage as a means to make it ultimately cheaper by getting rid of some of these drop boxes.
As of today, everyone lives within, every registered voter is within 3 miles of a drop box. These are costly to operate, not just to build, but to staff. And I believe that this holds promise if we are to implement this measure, that we strengthen our hand in the legislature to have this perhaps be an alternative to the requirement to add another 30-plus drop boxes at a much higher expense.
Republican Secretary of State Kim Wyman praised the idea, though she wanted them to kind of hold off for a bit because the state is already considering doing this all over Washington. And so this causes some disparity.
We need to be looking at its impact on the other 38 counties. When, you know, you're talking about King County, you're talking about one-third of the state's voters. So you're going to treat one in every three voters differently if King County just moves ahead on this alone. And I really wanted to make sure we were looking at this comprehensively.
So here's my take on this. I don't particularly look at this and say this is a Republican perspective, right? Like a Republican principled bill, because it does seem like, you know, you can spend what, how much does it cost to do a stamp now? It's under 50 cents. It's about 50 cents, right? If you are truly interested in voting, let's stop pretending that this is one of the barriers like 50 cents. It's not. And Joe Fain is a state senator. He's going to be on the show either tomorrow or the next day because he's in favor of this. I'm just kind of curious from a Republican perspective, what's the argument? But I'm okay with it because it's just, I'm voting. I always vote. Most of the people who are listening to me right now, you always vote. And it is a pain in the ass to have to find a stamp. Not to pay for the stamp. That doesn't matter. It's like, I don't have stamps. I know I still have that package of Forever stamps I bought at Costco 6 years ago. Like, I know I still have some of those stamps left. I just don't know where they are. And so ultimately, I will vote and I'll forget. Then I'll bring the envelope to the office. Then I'll tell the front desk person, oh, I'll pay you back tomorrow. I just don't have 50 cents. Can you just give me the... Then they give it to me and then I never pay it back. So now I'm also being forced into a position to steal from my office. So I appreciate this. It's going to make it a little bit easier. But the thing is, this is only going to make it easier for those of us who would have already voted. People are talking about how this will increase voter turnout because you're taking away barriers. No, it's not. The people who don't vote right now, the barrier is their disinterest or their laziness. We've made it incredibly easy to actually cast a ballot. We have. Whether it is mailing it and buying that stamp or going to one of these drop boxes, we've made it easy. People are not interested. Giving them free postage is not going to change that. And I'm okay still with this. The problem is, if you're justifying the expense, because there is an expense, obviously, and then when we talk about statewide, there's an even bigger expense. When you justify the expense by saying it's going to increase voter turnout, well, then doesn't it imply that you're going to judge the effectiveness of this particular program on voter turnout? So voter turnout doesn't change in the next several elections, and we're spending millions of dollars on this. Does that mean we get rid of the postage? I don't want you to get rid of it because it's so much easier for me to vote that way. It's less of a hassle. So why don't you just say, we think it should be as easy as humanly possible to vote, and we're willing to spend some dollars to ensure that, rather than this ridiculous scam of a ploy to, like, oh, more people are going to vote. No, they're not. People are not going to vote as a result of this. 1-800-465-8770. Text the word donate right now to 1-800-465-8770. Let's raise some money on this Give Big Seattle Day. It's the Jason Rant Show.